As we prepare to celebrate and to live the year of faith called for by Pope Benedict XVI, believers across the world are putting the finishing touches to many projects and initiatives specially prepared to be part of the year-long event. One such initiative is the stage production of a multidisciplinary performance geared towards children and teenagers, aiming to inspire them and help them to reflect on their own position in society and on the strength of the Christian message. Catherine, Barefoot in the Wind, is the name of the work that comes to life in music, poetry, drama, and visual art. Behind it all are the passion, the commitment, and the creativity of author Rosa Stipo and composer Adriana Del Giudice, who conceived and wrote the script and the music. Catherine, by the way, is no other than Saint Catherine of Siena, Doctor of the Church, and patron saint of Italy and of Europe. The work tells her story in a new way, making it especially interesting and attractive to young people who will immediately relate to all the technology involved, as well as to that rebellious peer of theirs, Catherine, who stopped at nothing to fulfill her dreams. Of course, many other hands and minds are involved in the staging of an event such as this. One very important character is, of course, the director. He came to see me here at Vatican Radio, and I felt very honoured to meet David Horton, the longtime collaborator of Lindsay Kemp, who not only directs Caterina, he also adapted Rosa Stipo's script. Just weeks away from the premiere, David Horton told me the team is working hard on more than just the finishing touches.
It's still in the creative process because the basic treatment on which the show would be based by Rosa Stipo exists and is published. But this is an adaptation, very much an adaptation, directed at primarily, above all, a school's audience. So it has to be conceived, really, for that audience. So what I'm doing is finding a way to tell the essence. It's a dreamlike, if you like, way of getting her across, and above all, looking for a way that children, not 6 or 7 year olds, but 11, 12, 13, 14 year olds can connect with, can identify with. So it actually starts with a not very well specified someone today who is at school or at university doing research and Googling and goes into, and it gradually becomes magic, the Googling or whatever. And she gradually gets more and more involved with the story of St. Catherine, who is never very clearly there as a character either. But there is a dancer who kind of stands for her. And there is also a soprano singer who kind of stands for, and this girl from today in the end gets confused almost with her. So it's like about what can a school girl or boy in 2012 identify?
Yes, how can young people today identify with 14th century Catherine?
Already as a young girl, St. Catherine was doing incredible things.
Bit of a rebel, if I'm not
totally
mistaken.
Totally a rebel, really. And so that's obviously a big kind of a thing to identify with, very much clashing with her mother's views of what she should be doing, although she was supported by her father. And also her shutting away her cell. No, she talks about her mental cell, her spiritual cell, where you can retreat from the world and find your identity very strongly. It reminds me very much of people with their headphones on. Although that's a rather debased version, because the wonderful thing about her was the way that she, having created that mystical strength and identity within herself, just went out and worked and helped people.
What has St. Catherine to say to a young person in the world today?
Well, in a sense, I've already hinted at it, in the sense that she followed her vision of what she should do, and she didn't just adapt to what she was expected to do. She had a vision in herself, and she followed that with incredible determination. But it was that mystical identity and love, because it was her writings, her incredible writings, are so full of this absolute ecstatic love for Christ, for God. But that was never separate from the idea of loving God is loving others, it's charity, and therefore going out and working, you know, working for the poor, helping the poor. Even being involved in political negotiations.
Well, she was very much so.
Yes, working for peace.
And being a woman in a man's world.
Well, totally. I mean, what she did would be incredible today, but in the 1370s, it was really incredible. And before Joan of Arc, she kind of set a pattern for a lot of female ecstatic or mm-hmm. charismatic figures that were able to emerge a bit.
Is the work that written by Rosa Steeple based on her letters?
No, it's a biography, kind of, in more or less stage form. In other words, it's mostly written in dialogues and so on. So, in fact, I put it on the stage and adapt it quite freely, guided by her, helped by her. And I've encouraged her to publish her books, as it were, in play form, in script form, because they work extremely well as that. But they basically tell the story of her whole life.
For those of you who are not familiar with Catherine of Siena's life, she was the 25th child born into a simple family. She became a Dominican tertiary when she was 16 and had visions of Christ, Mary and the saints throughout her life. And although she never had any formal education, Catherine was one of the most brilliant theological minds of her day. She persuaded Pope Gregory XI to go back to Rome from Avignon in 1377, and she worked to establish peace among the Italian city-states. When she died, she was working to heal the Great Western Schism. St. Catherine's letters and a treatise called A Dialogue are considered among the most brilliant writings in the history of the Catholic Church.
In my adaptation, in this version, it's called Caterina a piedi nudi nel vento, so barefoot in the wind. As much as possible, but not all of it, but as much as possible, I would like to use Catherine's words, because you know a lot of them have reached us. Usually they've been a bit Italianized from her Tuscan semi-dialect, but actually even her Tuscan semi-dialect is completely comprehensible, I think, and gives you that extra sense of an ordinary person in Siena who didn't speak Latin, and even to the end she certainly never spoke Latin, really. So as much as I can, I'd like to use her words, either in writing form or hearing them, because, as I say, it's not a naturalistic production, so you're not trying to, you know, put up scenery or anything else. It's somebody who keeps getting visions in a way.
It's impressionistic.
Yeah.
You were saying earlier that this production and others that you have done with Adriana del Giudice and Rosa Steeple are directed at young people, adolescents.
Yeah.
So it's not the first time you've worked for a young audience. What do you find that a young audience does react to? How do they relate to theatre and what do they like?
Well, this production is quite a challenge, really, because, well, with children's audience anyway, you have to capture them, and because for centuries they giggle and talk and but nowadays, of course, they just fiddle with their mobile phones,
right,
and things like that as well. So one of the weapons that you have normally is comedy, but it's very difficult with the St. Catherine, really, without just going completely
yes.
somewhere else to add comedy. So I hope to capture them a bit with, as it were, you know, what they're into is videos, video games, television, mobile phones and things like that. So there is a big use of projections. There is a big use of music and also soundtrack, like films, so that the music is mixed in with horse hooves or battle cries or whatever. So that those two elements give it a strong impact that is designed to grab their attention and hold it. And also, hopefully, through the mechanism of identification with this girl who starts off being a girl with problems, problems with her family, problems with relating with other people, and we see her basically on her own or communicating with somebody, we don't know who, on her mobile phone and on the internet. And she sort of is pushed into, for study purposes, for her doing a thesis or a study project, into researching Catherine on internet, and we see what she researches. But gradually it just takes over, and she finds a site that says, "We are Catherine," and then she finds a thing you can click for your narrator. And so there's a narrator who of course ends up coming into the room and talking to her personally, and so that gives you an idea of the kind of slightly surreal setup that allows me to tell the story more or less of who Catherine was, what kind of life she was, bringing out the things that young people today can identify with: her strength, her generosity, her being a rebel as well. These incredible letters that she writes to kings and popes saying, "Come on, wake up and get out there and do this and do that." And so her activism, and hopefully, but it's still guesswork yet, but you kind of, having done various productions, even though you never know exactly what you're going to do, you hope that you'll do it again.
I see that it's due to go on stage in November, which isn't far away, so no. You must have a pretty good idea of how it's coming. Are you happy with...
No, I don't think it's a good idea, really.
You don't yet?
No, okay. I've got to still write a lot of the script, because what I've done is developed more or less the structure within the kind of situation I've just explained, how the story will be told, what kind of style, and what's going to be said, more or less. So it's just kind of, you know, a skeleton.
So you haven't chosen your cast yet?
Yes, I have,
you
basically,
have.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to tell us more about this production? It's in Italian, of course.
It's in Italian. We've had, because a lot of the collaborations I've done before with Adriana del Giudice and Rosa Stipo were produced by the Teatro dell'Opera.
Right.
Performed at the Teatro Nazionale, and San Paolo was performed at the Teatro Costanzi, the main Teatro dell'Opera. But times have changed, times are hard for everybody, particularly in culture. And we've had a lot of trouble actually getting the St. Catherine project off the ground. And in the end, various attempts to have funding have not been particularly successful. So it will be funded mostly, partly by some of the Catherine groups, orders, various nuns around the world have contributed.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes, it's incredible.
How did you reach out to...
Well, through Adriana del Giudice's contacts, because they have done a lot of work, St. Paolo, uh-huh. And they are... close to a lot of people.
So mostly Dominican nuns?
Yeah. So, okay. And also the Catherinian study groups and societies around the world. But that is not a huge amount of money. It doesn't go very far. The rest is just coming on, hoping, you know, that we get the word out, that the teachers will bring their students, and parents will cough up the extra money to pay for the bus that takes them there, and so on. And that's much more difficult also now than it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. So we will be doing it actually through a cultural association in the theatre in Villa Flaminia, which is a Christian Brothers school.
I see it's been set as one event of the Year of Faith, which is about to begin.
Yes, well, that was there waiting for us. We didn't set that up ourselves, but it's certainly a very apt connection.
So hopefully after these performances it'll be produced again and again.
Yes, hopefully this will, because it is the kind of thing that, you know, once we've made the production, it is designed to be not very expensive and not very complicated technically to put on. So very much this is getting our foothold on into reality, but hopefully then we can take it around elsewhere. Not only in Rome, but also outside Rome. And if it works, if what I hope it can get through, I have 2 12-year-old daughters, twins, and that always helps me,
of course,
as well, to just know what they're into, know what they can get them enthusiastic. So if it works as I half dream and half know how to do, I think it could be very good. Something that will hold them, will capture them, will give them something to think about, and maybe, you know, will help something, someone, somewhere.
Will this show help something, someone, somewhere? Will it open someone's mind to something new? Will it make even one person in that young audience want to listen to its deeply spiritual message and feel the need to take it one step further, wherever that may be? That's what drives people like Adriana, Rosa, David, and all of their collaborators. Michele Della Cioppa for the set designs and video projections, Claudio Gizzi for the musical arrangements, and Enzo Celli for the choreography.